Well, welcome to our midweek Bible study. I can vividly remember times when I was being told off as a child. I guess you'll understand that I didn't like that. I got angry with my parents for telling me off, for saying no to the things that I wanted to do. But as an adult, and having had children myself, I can see how foolish I was. I had ample evidence of the love and the kindness of my parents to me, the house they gave, the food, the clothes, the toys, the times that they read to me and they patiently taught me. I was the recipient of immense parental goodness, but the difficulties obscured their love to me and their goodness to me. You know, we live in a fallen world. We're all too aware of that, aren't we, with the current pandemic? And yet, we also see the wonders of this world, the wonderful weather we've had recently, and we see God's goodness and his provision evident in so many things. And yet, we're thrown, aren't we, by the difficulties, the challenges and the hurts that we face. If we're really honest, for most of us, these difficulties are just small parts of our lives, aren't they? But they have a disproportionate impact on our perceptions. Like my childhood, I can see God as capricious or untrustworthy when actually I'm the recipient of such amazing goodness. Now, I wear glasses for reading. I need them because I have defective eyesight. And in difficult days, our difficulties can bring a defective eyesight too. And so we need to get back into God's word to see him as he is and to trust in him anew. Now, we're in this Faith Foundation series. We've been looking at the attributes of God, reminding ourselves of the reality of who our God is. And we're discovering again the foundations that are ours in him so that we can trust in him in a very difficult time. Today, we're going to look at the goodness of God. And I pray that God would transform our eyesight, give us the right eyesight, the right way of looking at him through all that we find in this passage, to see that we are recipients of incredible goodness, to turn our hearts into praise, to make us a grateful people, even in the midst of our difficulties, and to encourage our hearts to trust in the goodness of God, no matter what happens. As usual, we're going to root ourselves in a Bible passage as well as look at all God's word together. So let's turn to Psalm 107 and I'm going to read that for us. So Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hands of his foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city that they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against the Lord's command and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labour. They stumbled and there was no help, no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke their chains. He let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on mighty waves. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest and lifted up the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exult in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert and flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards and yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them and their numbers greatly increased. He did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased and they were humbled by oppression, calamity and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Well, amen for his wonderful word. So then, let's have a look into this passage together. And we're going to see, firstly, that what we mean by God's goodness, our good God. We're going to then look at how that goodness of God is seen in our lives. And finally, we're going to see how we ought to respond to God's goodness towards us. So first of all, then, let's have a look at what we mean by our good God. You'll see in verse 1 that this wonderful Psalm 107 starts with this call to us, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's a statement, isn't it? He is good. He is good. But I wonder what we mean by that. You see, we use the term good rather loosely, don't we? We can say, for example, that the weather is good today. And we've had some wonderful sunny weather recently. And you can see from my tan, I love the sun. Not that I've been sitting out there lying down to try and get a tan, you understand. But I do like being out in the sun. But if somebody with fair skin came along, they would probably not agree with me that the weather is good. Or somebody maybe who didn't like the heat wouldn't agree with me that the weather is good. You see, we think of good in terms of our own judgment of what is good rather than any definition of what is good. If you said to a child, you've been good today, it could mean many things. It could mean that they've been entirely perfect through the day. It could mean that they've done lots of good things around the house. Or it could just mean that they've not been as naughty as they were the day before. So you can see that we don't really have a good understanding of what is good. We need to think very carefully about what we mean when we say God is good, because if we don't get it right, we will suddenly think of God as not being good just because he doesn't live up to our expectations, even though those expectations might be wrong. And so God's word is clear. God is good. That's what we read in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. No, he just is good. First of all, I want you to see that it's his essence. He's not good because he meets a definition of good, like we say what God's goodness should look like, and he meets that definition. No. God is good. It is in his very person, his very attributes of God's goodness. Now, this is repeated many times in Scripture, this phrase that God is good. Psalm 100 verse 5, Psalm 106 verse 1, Psalm 107 verse 1, Psalm 119 verse 68, Psalm 118 verse 1, Psalm 136 verse 1. And they're just a few of them in the Psalms around this Psalms. I could go through many, many more Psalms, and I could go to many, many other places in Scripture. You see, God is not like us. There are no parts which escape his goodness. God is good. His whole being is good. It is what God is. You could, if you like, think of it this way, that, you know, if we were to kind of cut parts of us off, cut my arms off or whatever, I would be a lesser person than I am. But actually, in every part of God, no matter which way you try and look at God or divide God up, as it were, that's not quite right theologically, you understand, but get what I mean. You would find goodness in every part. God is good. Now, that's so reassuring, isn't it? There's no hidden or dark side of God that we're suddenly going to reveal to see that to suddenly discover that God is not as good as he said he was. God is good. and we can trust in him. So God is good in his essence. Secondly, he's good in his eternity. James chapter 1 and verse 7 says this: every good gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shade due to change. You know, we've already seen, haven't we, that God is immutable. God does not change. And because he doesn't change, then his goodness doesn't change either. God is as good today as he was yesterday, as he will be in the future. God's goodness is dependable. Where everybody else might fail us and we might be disappointed, God's goodness towards us does not fail. Even in the dark moments of our life, even when it looks like everything has gone wrong, God is still good. We're going to think a bit more about how we can see God's goodness in those dark moments a bit later on. God is ruling over all. So in his essence, in his eternity, but also in his expression, in the things that God does, this is how we see God's goodness. And we see it in pages of scripture. We see it in our lives as well. We see it in the pages of scripture right from the start of the Bible, the very first chapter of the Bible. Now, you will know this, that God created, and then it said God saw all he has made and it was good. And eventually in verse 31, he says it was very good. Now, he says it after every little bit of creation. So verse 10, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 24 and verse 31, six times over, 6 days of creation. It's good. Everything God does, you see, is good. This is his nature. He cannot do something which is not good. And so from the beginning, God is good. And secondly, in our being, God is good. I don't know what you think when you stand in front of the mirror. Maybe you cringe a little bit as you look at yourself. But you look at if you look at our bodies and the intricacy of the way that things work together, quite rightly, the psalmist in Psalm 139 and verse 14 says this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And as we look in creation, we see the immense goodness of God in the very creative acts around us. And so in our being, we see his goodness as well. In his bounty towards us, we also see his goodness. We talk about common grace, don't we? What we mean by that is God's grace showing to every single one of his creatures and all of his creation. You know, God loves. God is love. We thought about that on one of the earlier sessions. And so he shows his goodness to all that he's made. Now, this is amazing grace, isn't it? We don't deserve any goodness from God. And particularly when our heart's at that place of rebellion against God, when we are swearing about God, when we want to nothing to do with God, and yet God shows his goodness to us. Psalm 145 tells us this: the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. The eyes of all look to him, and he gives them food at the proper time. You know, his love towards us all is amazing, and it's constant. Every single moment of every single day, God shows his grace towards us. Even the rising of the sun in the morning, the rising of the moon at night, as the world spins round on its axis, and all the laws of physics remain, are part of God's goodness to us. So it's in his common grace, but also it's in his special grace. God's special grace to us is the goodness which is shown to those who are his people. First of all, of course, it's his goodness in his redemptive love towards us. Why did God send his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world? Well, because God so loved the world. God in his goodness loved us in our rebellion, in turning our backs on him. You see, it's a good God who loves this world. And when Jesus is born, the whole of heaven joins in praise, in singing of God's goodness. They sang of God's goodwill towards all men, weren't they? And like all God's goodness, it's not dependent on who we are or what we do, is it? The cause of his love towards us isn't because we are good or because we've done enough to have his love towards us. It's simply because God so loved us. He's the provider of forgiveness, not because we repented. We are called to repentance. But God doesn't see our repentance and then think, oh, that's great, therefore I will now forgive. God's forgiveness is his divine elected a gift towards us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it's not of works that so in case that we could boast, but it's by his grace, his unmerited goodness towards us that we receive his forgiveness. He freely pardons us because he is a good God. And his goodness goes on to us, carries on throughout our lives, doesn't it? His goodness in preserving us as we walk with him. It's his goodness in teaching us his word and revealing it to us by his Spirit. His goodness in transforming our lives to be in more in conformity with his own life. His goodness in sustaining us. His goodness finally in that last day in bringing us into glory as well. And so we see his goodness in his expression to us, his works towards us. And finally, we see his goodness in his eternal purposes for us. You know, there's an amazing verse in the Bible, which I don't use often because it's really difficult when you're in those difficult circumstances. You sometimes don't want to hear this, but it's true. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love God. God is working out his goodness even in those difficult things in life. You see, Paul was not writing to people who were just having a cruise, as it were. He was writing to Romans who were being persecuted. He would very shortly write to them later in Romans chapter 8 and said that nothing, even death, will separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You see, because they are facing that kind of trial. And yet into this situation, into a situation of trouble, he reminds them that all things work together for good. God is still good in our difficulties because he has eternal purposes that he is working out. God is good in his essence, in who he is. God is good in eternity. His goodness doesn't change. God is good in his expression, in the way it works out in our lives and in our salvation. And God is good in his eternal purposes. Isn't God's goodness amazing? There's a lovely verse in scripture in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6 that says this, that God is abundant in goodness and truth. The Latin translation of that, which you might say, well, why am I going there? But bear with me. The Latin translation of that is ultra bonus. Now you can get that in English, can't you? His goodness is ultra bonus towards us, is overflowing, is abundant. He is spontaneously good. It overflows to us all the time. He's hyper generous towards us with his goodness. And his goodness is without mercenary motive. It's not limited by what we deserve. He loves to be good to us because he is good. Psalm 33 and verse 5 says, the earth is full of the goodness of God. Oh, how we need to see more of his wonderful goodness to us, the eternal, unchanging, lavish goodness of God towards us. So God is a good God. That's what we're told in verse 1. But also we can see it if we look in our lives. Now, we look at our lives and we see lots of different difficulties and trouble in our lives. And Psalm 107 doesn't shirk away from that. It's very honest about it. And so it's showing us how God is good in our lives. And so have a look, for example, at, as we go through this, as the journey of our lives. That's what the psalm is taking us through in the psalm. So verse 4 to 7, we see God's goodness when we are in our helplessness. Now have a look at those verses. It doesn't so readily describe how we were before we came to know Jesus. Verse 4, we were wandering in the desert. We were hungry and thirsty. We couldn't find any satisfaction or anything to quench our thirst in verse 5. Our lives were in mortal danger in verse 5. But when we are there, what does God do? God in his goodness reaches down to us and rescues us. It's amazing, isn't it, how God leads us and brings us to himself when we do not deserve it. I'm amazed often by so many new believers who will say to me as they reflect back on their lives, how they've seen God trying to break into their lives and actually working through so many different circumstances in their lives to lead them to the point where they come to know him. We have a God who is good to us when we do not deserve it, when we're lost and alone, and when we are in desert wastelands, and when our life, our eternal life, is utterly in peril. We've got who is good in our helplessness. Secondly, we've got a God who is good in our darkness, verse 5 to 14. Well, darkness is another picture of lostness, isn't it? And we see also their imprisonment in verse 10 as well. I should have said it's verse 10 to 14 rather, and not 5 to 14, verse 10 to 14. Some sat in darkness and upper darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they had rebelled against God's commands. We can see that turning away from God there, can't we? And we see his goodness to us when we're in that darkness. Now this, of course, is both a darkness before we come to know the Lord, but sometimes when we've come to know the Lord, we can turn away from him. We can almost, as it were, turn back to darkness. We can find ourselves again a prisoner to the lusts of the flesh, the desires that we have. And whether it's before we come to know the Lord or whether it's as we know the Lord, but maybe have drifted away from him, we still have a God who is incredibly good to us. What does he do? He reaches to us in our darkness. He breaks, as we see in verse 14, the gates of bronze, and he cuts, the gates of bronze, and he cuts through the bars of iron. He sets the prisoner free. That is his goodness towards us, even when we are in great difficulty. Believer, you have an everlasting story of God's goodness to you, God's goodness in salvation, and God's goodness in keeping and pursuing after you, even as you walk with him. And we see, don't we, in verse 17 to 20, God's goodness in our chastening. Now, there are times when we do drift, don't we? We've already thought a little bit about that, when we do rebel against that. And we see that in verse 18 here. They loathe the food. God gives us the food of his word, but when we turn away from God, what we're doing is we're rejecting the food of his word, and we're not wanting what he wants for us to have as the very best for us. And yet, even when they loathe that food, and God disciplines them, doesn't he, in this passage, he gave them into trouble, and they drew near to the gates of death in verse 18. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from all his distress. God sent his word to them, and he healed them. That's what God does, doesn't he? He brings his word back to us, and he heals us even in our distress. And so even in our chastening, God's goodness is seen. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:12 and Hebrews 12:6 that our Father disciplines the son he loves. Just because we know his discipline doesn't mean that we don't know his goodness. In fact, it is a sign of his goodness towards us. We see God's goodness, fourthly, on our journey through life. Verse 23 to 30 is about the journey of mariners. And sometimes they're on still seas where everything is good and wonderful, and much of our life is like that, isn't it? And sometimes they're on stormy seas where things are difficult. And we do have times of stillness, and we do have times which are difficult. But have a look in verse 25. Why was the difficulty there? Well, verse 25, he spoke and he stirred up the tempest. You know, those times of storm don't mean that he is not good. The disciples required a storm to really get to know Jesus truly and to trust in God. Sometimes we need those storms of life, and those storms of life are there so that God can show his goodness to us. And fifthly, God's goodness is in both good days and bad. Verse 33 to verse 42 go through many of the different kind of times of life. There are times of plenty, verse 35 to 36. There are times of very little, verse 33 to 34. There are times of blessing, verse 36 to 37. And there are times of calamity in verse 39 to verse 40. But in all of those, we have a sovereign God who does not leave us nor forsake us. And we're to know that in all those circumstances, our God is good. That you can trust him and his goodness, no matter what the circumstances of life. So what you see in this chapter, Psalm 107, is this journey through our Christian life, and that God is good in every part of our Christian life, even the things that we might see as difficult. So if we see God's goodness then, and God in his essence is good, his eternity is good, and our experience is good, and we see that worked out in our Christian life as well, then what's our response to be? Well, this is our third point, our good response. Verse 43 really brings it out, but I'm going to have a look back through the chapter, because you'll notice in verse 8 and verse 15 and verse 21 and verse 31, there's a common response. It's repeated four times over here, isn't it? And what is the response? Well, the response is to let them give thanks to the Lord. You know, now, we're called to respond with praise to God, because just like me and my response to my parents when they said no, in spite of all the goodness they showed to me, because the no of the moment obscured all of their amazing goodness that they had shown to me. So the no of the moment in our lives, or maybe the trouble or difficulty of the moment in our lives, can obscure what all of God's goodness to us, and we can fail to see God's goodness even in the know. And so what's the response of our heart to be? Well, it says, let them give thanks to the Lord, verse 8, 15, 21 and 31. In every aspect of our journey through life with the Lord, we're to give thanks to him. Why? Because God is at work in our hearts and lives. We're to remember that he is good, no matter what the circumstances, and to respond in praise to him. Not praise for the difficulties, but praise that in the difficulties, God is still good and God is working out his purposes in those things. We're to ponder verse 43. It says, let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. We're not to respond unwisely by doubting God in those difficulties. Now, recently, the little MG, which Anne's got, the little sports car we have, I've been dealing with some of the rust spots in it. So I've got a drill out and put a wire brush in the end of the drill and taken it to the body. Now, if you've seen me do it and you've seen the effect on the body, all that nice paint stripped away and then the rust revealed, and then I strip the rust away and there's holes revealed there. And then I've got to patch up the bodywork and make it good and then paint it all again. If you were to see me do that, you could say, I'm being really unloving to that car. I'm not doing that car good. But the reality is, of course, that I am doing that car good. If I left the rust, it would just spread and the whole car would become just a heap of rust. So the work of God in our lives, even though it can sometimes seem difficult, does not mean that he is not good. Rather, it means that he is good. And we're to ponder this. We're to stop and think. Instead of turning our backs on God because of difficulty, we're to think, God is at work in my life. God is at work transforming me, making me like him. Tozer has said this, that lack of faith is a reflection of our lack of understanding of God's character. Let me say that again. Lack of faith is a reflection of our lack of understanding of God's character. If we do not know that God is good, then doubts will come in difficult situations. But knowing the goodness of God should transform our response to those difficult situations. So we praise, we ponder. Thirdly, we pursue. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I'm not going to turn you to it. It'll take you ages to find it. That little book is about God's judgment on a people. And right at the start of it, in chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. You see, rather than turn from God when we come into times of difficulty, we're to pursue God. He is our refuge because he's good. He's the one in whom we can trust. And because he is eternal, he's immutable, he does not change, we can rest in his goodness no matter what the difficulty. And finally, there's his purpose here, isn't there? Romans 12, not obviously, but let me take you to Romans 12 and verse 2. In Romans 12 and verse 2 says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so we can test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. What is God doing in those difficulties and troubles? What God is doing is he is transforming us so that we can be like him, so that we can test and approve the things that we might do, and we can decide on the good that we ought to be doing so that we can reflect him by demonstrating goodness in our lives. And so our purpose, God's purpose in us through all of these things, is to bring out his goodness in us. His purpose is that we should be like him, a people who are good and who do good in all circumstances. You know, we have a good God, a God who is ultra bonus, who overflows with goodness. Can I encourage you to see the goodness of God and to rest in him? Amen.